Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you, Dave, and for everybody who clapped and those who might not have clapped. That's all right. I can handle it. No, thank you. It's a real blessing for my wife and I to be counted part of the family here. We feel very much welcomed in by you folks, and that's the way we feel. So thank you, Dave. After listening to all of your sharing, I realized maybe I don't need to preach this message this morning because you're already very thankful people. But we're going to look at it anyway, and it's kind of based in a way on Colossians chapter 3, which is the passage I'd like for us to consider at the outset. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, going through verse 17 or so. Let's hear God's word together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, teach us from your word this morning. Show us what we need to know. By your Holy Spirit, apply your truth to each of our lives. Speak, we pray, in these special moments. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. There were three words in that scripture reading that we just had. Three words that are kind of easy to overlook, skip past, or miss entirely. As we read through that passage just a moment ago, we see a list of expectations that God has for us as his people. How we are to conduct ourselves within the body of Christ specifically, but in other ways as well. And tucked in the middle are these three words. Did you see them? And be thankful. It's only three words. Be easy to miss. But it's important that we see those three words. Just the fact that it's only three words doesn't diminish its importance in this whole list of virtues that are mentioned. I want to read to you something from the Word. And I don't want you to look it up. I want you to just listen as I read. This is from 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's quite a list. Does that sort of encapsulate the world we live in today? He said that'll be the case in the latter days. But one of those things, I think we can all agree that all those things are bad things, right? That I just read. One of them, I don't know if you caught it, it says ungrateful. It places ingratitude basically on the same level as all of those other things that we heard and we just kind of shake our heads at. Ingratitude is listed in the same way as the others, which to me begs a question. Is ingratitude a sin? If sin, by definition, is an offense against God, then gratitude may well apply here. And if ingratitude is a sin, it should force us to view the whole concept of ungratefulness with more importance. Because if it's a sin, it means that thanklessness is not just rudeness or thoughtlessness or self-centeredness or boorish behavior, but thanklessness is an actual offense against God. One of the sins Christ took upon himself on the cross, and as with all sins, a sin that must be repented of, and that God will forgive us through the blood of Christ. The Bible is very clear. Thanking God for our blessings is an expectation that he has of his people. And appropriately so. We shouldn't need a Thanksgiving Day, should we? As believers in Jesus Christ. To remind us to be thankful. We shouldn't need verse after verse after verse in the scriptures imploring us to be thankful. And yet they're all there, from Genesis to Revelation. We shouldn't need prompting. We shouldn't need a preacher to stand up and say, be thankful. But if we're candid and honest with ourselves, sometimes we're not. At least not as much as we should be. If we are God's children, we should, by definition, be thankful people. Thankfulness should be as natural to us as breathing. Most of us haven't gotten to that place yet. But that should be our goal. Thankfulness is that important. It's important to God. It should be important to us as God's people. So let's ask the question this morning. Why isn't it that we or others are not thankful or as thankful to God as we should be? What are the reasons why we have to be reminded to be thankful? There are many of them. As I was thinking this through this week, I came up with three that I think are pretty significant. And I'd like to share those with you this morning and think with you about these things. Why is it that we are not as thankful as we should be? Three causes of ingratitude. Let's examine and see if any of them are in us. First, a sense of entitlement. And I don't mean entitlement in the political sense. Let's just leave that whole thing behind. Entitlement programs and all the rest. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Entitlement, according to the dictionary, is a notion or belief that one has a right to some particular reward or benefit. In other words, entitlement means we're owed something. And that when good things happen, well, we deserve it. And we merit what we have received. Now, we would say probably we don't do that. But are there times when we develop sort of a sense of entitlement when it comes to our relationship with God? Because it's very easy to presume upon God and his blessings, to in effect get used to them. God is so good, he takes care of us so well, we can almost become oblivious to them and forget it. And think, well, you know, I'm a believer in Christ. I deserve these things. We can take them for granted, expect them, lose gratitude. At least some of you here will recognize this illustration. But there's a TV show called Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm hoping at least one other person in here has seen that at some point or another, or else you'll miss this entirely. But if you're familiar with the show, you know that Frank and Marie, Ray's parents, are constantly bickering, constantly fighting with one another, constantly putting each other down. And in one particular episode, Marie is doing her usual complaining about Frank, and she says, in all the years of doing the cooking and the cleaning and taking care of the house and raising the children, never once have you given me a thank you. And Frank answers, as only Frank could, I don't have to thank you. That's your job. And the school, you can hear the studio audience go, ooh. Now we hear that. And we say, what a crass thing to say, or a crass thing to think. But does it ever happen to us that when we think about God's blessings, we almost have a sense where we say to God, well, that's God's job. God's job is to bless us. That's why he's there. That's the way the things are supposed to be. He's supposed to bless me. He's supposed to answer my prayers. He's supposed to give me the good things in life. He's supposed to give me and take care of all my needs and all my problems. And when he doesn't, what do? Whine and complain. Where is God? Why are you allowing this, God? It's so easy to presume upon grace because we've received so much of it. And we start to think, well, that's just what God does. I can share with you a recent example happened this week. You probably saw it in the news. Megan Rapinoe is a soccer player, professional women's soccer player, one of the best in the world. And after a long career, she's retiring, and this week was her final match. And early on in that match, she got injured her Achilles tendon and couldn't continue the game. This was her final game and she would be injured. Megan was not happy. And she said in an interview, I'm not a religious person or anything. And if there was a God, this is proof that there isn't. And my first thought was, that's one of the most narcissistic statements I have ever heard in my life. What is the assumption there? If there's a God, then bad things shouldn't happen to me. Right? Isn't that what she's saying? If I had a chance to talk to her, I think I would say, so all of those matches where you didn't get injured, are you going to give God credit for those? That would be the logical extension of that argument, wouldn't it? The fact is, sometimes even we who know Christ and have been blessed so much spiritually and in every other way can begin to think that we're kind of entitled to God's blessings. We can easily forget that it's all a gift. That grace is unmerited favor. That none of us deserve any blessing from God. If he's a holy God and we are not, and yet he blesses us. I love the old hymn, often sung this time of the year, which says, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, yes, thank the Lord for all his love. James 1:17 puts it very clearly. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. As I said, we should be constantly amazed that God blesses us at all, that he gives us anything. What have we done to deserve that? Everything we have is a gift, according to James 1. And what do you do when you receive a gift? You thank the giver. You're appreciative to the giver. Let us be careful that we never slip into a sense of entitlement where we think that God's blessings are somehow given to us because we deserve them. If we understand that they're all a gift, then the only proper response is gratitude. Gratitude. And that's what I heard during our sharing time, and I'm appreciative of hearing that from you. The second cause of ingratitude, it seems to me, is a lack of perspective, which simply means we can view things the wrong way. We see things so often through the wrong prism. We can only see things through our own limitations, after all. I love the story I heard years ago of a young boy, young child, who wandered out into the backyard of his home and fell into the backyard swimming pool and would have drowned. But his older brother saw what was happening. And his older brother reached down and pulled him out of the pool and saved his life. Well, the local paper sent a reporter over to do this story. And the reporter was interviewing the young boy who was saved. And the reporter said something to the effect of, well, you must really appreciate your brother very much. And the young boy says, no, I'm mad at him. You're mad at him? Why? He saved your life. And the young boy said, yeah, but he pulled my hair. A lack of perspective. How do you compare those two things? Saving one's life or having your hair pulled? But like that child, we often can focus on the specific and the immediate. We can magnify the negative. We don't focus always on the big picture, the end result, what God is doing in the midst of whatever it is we are going through. One of the most well-quoted verses, I suppose, is Romans 8:28, which I learned as all things work together for good, to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The NIV translates it a little different than that. That verse does not mean that everything in itself is good. Let's put that right on the table. It doesn't mean that tragedy is good. Injustice is good. Pain and sorrow are good. No, certainly not. And by the way, when God in the book of Genesis looked at his creation and says it's good, none of those things were present then. No, those things aren't good. But this verse tells us that God can take bad things and make good out of them. The King James, all things work together for good. Actually, if you want to be technical in terms of grammatical Greek there, it should be God works all things together. The things don't work together by themselves. It doesn't just happen. God is the one who is working all things together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God can use everything in our lives to bring about his good. And by the way, that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing that right now. He's been doing that all week, and he'll do it this coming week. That's what he does. Working all things together for good, his good. As Romans 12:2 would put it, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That should be what we want. And the scriptures say he's doing that. He's doing that no matter what's going on. Now, that involves faith, doesn't it? Because we may not always understand. We may not always see. I hope I'm not the only one in this room who's ever questioned God and saying, "What are you doing here? I don't understand God." But at the same time, ending that prayer by saying, "I know your will is perfect." I may not get it. I may not understand it. I may not understand it in this life until I see you face to face. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to thank you that you are working in my life, even in the times when I just can't see it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we see, give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't say for all circumstances, but it does say in all circumstances. I love the story of Matthew Henry, one of the great preachers in England in the 19th century. One day, as he was in London, he was mugged. And everything he had on him was taken. And he came to church that Sunday. And he talked about it. And this is what he said in his prayer. He says, "I thank you, God, because I was never robbed before. Second, I thank you because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. I thank you, God, third, because although they took it all, it wasn't really all that much. And I thank you, God, fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who was doing the robbing." That's not some silver lining in a dark cloud kind of thing. That's not some empty, positive thinking philosophy. That comes from somebody who knew God and knew the truth of Romans 8:28 and knew that God was at work even when he might not be able to understand it. And so he could indeed give thanks in all circumstances. God loves us. He's active in our lives. He's working out his purpose for our good. Let's never lose sight of that. If we lose sight of that, we'll be less grateful than we should be. But realizing that, we can thank God every moment, as we're told to do. The third thing that causes ingratitude, I believe, is a tendency toward forgetfulness. It is amazing to me how forgetful I am of God's blessings. How forgetful I think we all are of the times that God has bestowed upon us grace upon grace. When you read the Old Testament, which I hope many of you have, if not all, do you ever find yourself reading the story and the history of Israel there and kind of get mad at them? Because it seems like God would do something extraordinary, miraculous, and then, like, just a short time after that, they're saying, "Oh, woe is us. God doesn't love us anymore. We'd be better off back in Egypt." And so God would save them again. And what would happen? Same thing, again and again and again and again. And we want to shout at those people, say, don't you get it? Did you forget so soon what God had done for you? But let's be careful when we point at them and maybe look at our own lives. Do we often fall into the trap of, well, God, what have you done for me lately? And forget all his benefits. I am a huge Boston sports fan, if you haven't learned that about me yet. Always have been. I love my Boston teams. I don't always love my fellow Boston fans, however. And the reason I say that is that Red Sox fans seem to have a very short memory. I'll never forget when the Red Sox won in 2018, their fourth championship. The next morning, I was listening to a sports talk show, which I don't do anymore. Those are terrible. But anyway, I did then, because I thought they would be all excited. They just won the fourth championship they've had in the last, I don't know, few years. And you know what they were talking about? Well, we're not going to win it next year. I mean, after all, so-and-so is going to leave for free agency, and this person's going to do that, and we don't, you know, all the rest. And I don't know what we're going to do next year. And I just want to say, we just won. If you were to come to my house, you would see that above my desk is a glassed-in case. And it has 12 mugs in it. Back when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, I bought a commemorative mug. And ever since then, whenever a Boston team, one of the four major teams, won a championship, I'd buy a mug. In the last 20 years, I've collected 12 of them. And they're sitting there above my desk. 12 championships in a short time. A lot of cities don't have one. And yet, my fellow Boston fans, oh, what are we going to do? It really bugs me. Those coffee mugs are a reminder to me that even when the Patriots are as bad as they are right now, and the Red Sox had such a horrible year this year, I look up at that case and I say, you know what? I haven't had it that bad as a fan. At least 12 times in the last 20 years, I've had a championship to celebrate. Well, getting back to the point at hand here, we can be like that with God's blessings. And God knows it. Because if you read the Old Testament, how many times does it say, like after a great victory in a battle, that they built a monument? The reason being that when they passed that monument, they would remember. Remember when they crossed the Jordan River? They took 12 stones out of the middle of it and set it up. Why? So they wouldn't forget over and over and over. What were the whole purpose of the tabernacle services? How many times in the Old Testament does God rehearse what he's done for them? Why? Because they kept forgetting. We are no different than the Israelites. We're always on to the next thing. In Psalm 103, we read, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We so often live in the now and forget things we leave behind. But remembering past blessings can cause thankfulness to well up in us. we're led to conclude that God really has been good to us. Even when we're going through the valleys, even when things are tough, when we look back, we can see how God undertook for us, blessed us. And we don't know the half of it, what he's done that we're totally unaware of. And we'll only find out when we're face to face with him someday. Tendency toward forgetfulness. Three things that I think cause ingratitude: sense of entitlement, a lack of perspective, and a tendency toward forgetfulness. If any of these things kind of ring true in any of our lives, it's probably good that we're aware of it, because they can slip in almost unnoticed before we even recognize it. And so as we think about being grateful and not wanting to commit the sin of ingratitude, maybe we can examine our lives and make sure that none of these things are worming their way in to our lives and keeping us from being as grateful as we should be. And one last point. Everybody loves it when a preacher says that. One last point. Gratitude alone is not enough. Our attitude has to translate into action. Folks, it's not called Thanksgiving Day. It's called Thanksgiving Day. It starts with thanksgiving. That needs to be there if it's going to be sincere. But if that's all it is, it's not enough. Giving is an action. It's something we do. And another thing about gratitude is there has to be an object to it. Someone to thank. I hear all the time this time of year, and you'll hear it on television, news media, everywhere else. Well, you know, we're grateful. We're thankful. We're thankful. And I always want to yell, to whom? Because being thankful means there's got to be someone or something to thank that's responsible. An atheist, I feel bad for them. They have nobody to thank. What are you going to do? Thank you, chance. Thank you, fate. Thank you, coincidence. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have someone to thank, because we recognize it's because of him that we have everything that we have. But thanksgiving unexpressed is no thanksgiving at all. Don't you like to hear thank yous from people when you've done something? Do you think God is the same way? You say, well, he knows how I feel. Yeah, he does. I think he likes to hear it. I think he likes to have a public expression of it, as many of you did earlier in this service. I think that pleased him greatly. So let us not commit the sin of ingratitude. Let's recognize it's all a gift from God. God's working in our lives. Recognize how much he has done for us in the past. And as grateful people, give thanks to God. Now, Thursday, every day. Lord, thank you so much. The words thank you flow off my tongue, but they're easy to say. But Lord, I trust you know the sincerity of our hearts when we say it. It almost doesn't seem enough, just that word, but it's what we have, Lord. So we say to you, thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the prompts to our thanking God is to recognize our blessings. Yeah, you can come forward, ladies. We're going to sing Count Your Blessings, which, of course, we don't have time to do today because there's so many. But nevertheless, let's sing this very familiar hymn together as we close. 4:30, Count Your Blessings.